remain standing this morning for the reading of God's wonderful book, the King James 16:11 Bible. Wonderful, wonderful book indeed. I'm going to read an entire chapter this morning to you, and we'll take our thought from there and preach on thoughts out of that chapter. Something the Lord... Brother Robert, I need a little more on this so we can hear it. I think it's might been a little low. We've been getting a little low. My voice is not very poopy this morning anyway. And if you can help me out that way, I'd appreciate it. All right, I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles more into Psalm 21. A verse of Scripture there that the Lord laid on my heart this week while we were in the radio marathon. And I've never preached it before. I haven't had a great deal of time to apply myself to it. A lot of time to study. But I'm going to try to handle it the best that I can. Psalm number 121, please. And we're going to read all eight verses. Some of you looked peaked when I said we're going to read a whole chapter. But it's all, what would you have done if it had been Psalm 119?
Amen.
Amen. Psalm 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil, he shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even for evermore. Now may the Lord bless the reading of this word. This morning, let's pray together. Our precious Heavenly Father, I want to thank You, Lord, for Thy people that have gathered today in the house of God. I thank You, Lord, for Your divine presence today. Thank You, Father, for the singing that we've enjoyed, the special numbers, the congregational music, the testimonies. I'm thankful for the reading of the Word of God. I pray now, Lord, that You would open up Thy Word to us and help us. I pray, Father, that You would anoint with power the preacher as I stand this morning to do my best to expound these verses to the people of God. I pray You'd anoint it with power. I pray You'd grant us the liberty we need, and may You help every heart. Strengthen the souls of Thy people today. Strengthen the faith of the people of God. And Lord, convict those that may be amongst us today or even by the radio who've never trusted in Christ. May they today come to know Jesus in the full pardon and free pardon of sin. I pray that You'll glorify Yourself and magnify Christ in our midst. Open up our eyes today that we might see Thee in all Thy glory and beauty and worship You in the beauty of holiness. And we'll thank You for doing it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. And I'm sure you've already figured out from the bulletin this morning that our text verse is found in verse number 1, where the psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. Well, why are you going to look at the hills, dear friend? For from whence cometh my help? And I want to try to preach, if God will help me this morning, on this thought, finding help in the hills. Finding help in the hills. The psalmist said there, I will lift up mine eyes. Now mark these words carefully as I read through it. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. If you've got a Bible that's got the chapter headings in there, you'll know that this is a song of degrees. That's what it says at the beginning, a song of degrees. That word degree simply means ascent, or so it is a psalm of ascent that literally means upward. So we ought to take this psalm in that light, that it will lead us upward. That's a glorious thought this morning, that God's Word always leads a man or a woman upward. It brings us out of our lowly state of a lost individual and sets us on the upward way. I'll never forget when the first time I went to Greenville, South Carolina, and I came back from down in Greenville and our family with us, come off of Highway 25 on the Interstate 26 out of Hendersonville. And there was a large overpass across the highway, and I looked, had a sign there that said the Eastern Continental Divide. And then on that road, it said Upward Road. I said, praise God. Thank God that's exactly what I'm traveling on is the Upward Road. Amen. God picked me up out of the valley and began to lead me in that upward way. The song was probably sang by the people of God as they traveled to Jerusalem for the various feasts at the house of God. And as they went to the house of God, they went singing this song of degree. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if you and I, and all God's people as far as that goes, would come to the house of God with our eyes lifted up, and went singing along the way psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, looking under the hills from whence cometh our help, knowing that when we got there, there would be help for us. I want to say there is help for the people of God if we'll get our eyes up and our countenance up and look under the hills from whence cometh our help. God has given us help and grace there, and there'll be help for you, and there will be help for me. They were singing. We ought to be singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. I want you to notice also that they had to lift up their eyes. That tells me that their eyes were cast down, that their countenance was cast down. And possibly they were cast down. They were cast down because they had grown weary from the battles they were fighting. I want to say, ladies and gentlemen, that we are in a battle today. I'll tell you, there is a battle raging in the lives of the people of God. If you're saved by the grace of God, I'm telling you, there is a battle raging in your heart and in your life in order to stay right with God, to stay faithful with God. That's right, to stay in a prayerful spirit, to maintain a joyful spirit and a right attitude about everything of life. There is a battle going on. And the devil is sure to be right there, egging on the enemies of God and the adversaries of God's people in that battle. But I want to say that there is help in the hills when we've grown weary in the battle. I think some of you in here have grown a little weary in the way. You've gotten a little tired. You're a little spiritually dragging. Doesn't seem like God's doing a great deal in your life, and you're wondering where God's at. Have you considered He's where He's always been, in the hills and ready to extend a helping hand to you, but you're not going to find God in the hills looking at the ground. Oh no, you're not going to find God in the hills with a sad, dreary, drooping countenance looking down. Amen. Brother Wayne, run in my office and get that plaque, will you? Get that plaque of the three wise men, Mary and Joseph, in there. The man gave me yesterday from Haiti. I want to show you most Baptists today. They may have grown weary from the spiritual battle and fighting. Or maybe they were discouraged from the adversities of life. May I say there are adversities in this life, ladies and gentlemen. And those adversities can bring discouragement in your life. Now, isn't that a sad commentary? Now, here we are standing at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's three wise men and Joseph and Mary, and they look like that their mother-in-law has moved into town and moved into their house and ain't never going to leave. I won't say that is a sad commentary. Ladies and gentlemen, that does not even depict the birth of our Lord at all. The Bible said that there was singing in heaven and rejoicing on the hills of glory when the Son of God came into this world and gave His life, and there was rejoicing the day that He died upon the cross to give His life And I'll tell you, we oughtn't to get weary in the way. We oughtn't to grow weary and discouraged because of the battle or because of the adversary. We ought to keep the joy of the Lord in our heart and thank God that we've been to Calvary and been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. That's the saddest commentary for a spiritual scene I've ever seen in my life. Damn in the mouth, droopy mouth. Like God's dead. God ain't dead. Amen. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And if you look unto some of them hills from whence cometh your help, He might slay you and me for one of these days. Amen. Hallelujah to God. That's right. They may have even been displeased with some event in life that had recently happened. I'm telling you, there are some things, some events in life that displease people because they've happened, and they don't ever seem to get over that. I remember back in 1978 when my wife's mother died, was killed really suddenly in an automobile accident. And I thought to myself, this will be devastating to my wife. And at the time, we were going to a little old, forgive me now, a little Pentecostal church. And my wife sang. And she couldn't even get up and sing. She'd start singing a song and break down in tears and just couldn't seem to get her spirit back where it ought to be. And I didn't know much at the time, but I knew that death of her mother had caused her great discouragement, and that she was weary in this life, and that she was displeased because of what had happened. May I say to you that God will never do you wrong. Some of you in here have lost loved ones. Some of you have lost family. And it's grieved you and displeased you. I won't say none of us wants to lose a loved one. But ladies and gentlemen, God has never done us wrong. I'll tell you, it took the death of her mother and the death of her father to get us where we are today. And we didn't realize it then, but God's chastening hand of chastisement was heavy upon us at the time. And I'll tell you, friend, God knows how to lay the hand of chastisement upon people again today. Amen. But they may have been displeased with a certain event that was in their life. Amen. At any rate, while their countenance was fallen, when their countenance was fallen, regardless of why their countenance was fallen and their eyes were down, they realized that help awaited them in Jerusalem. They knew that help awaited them there. It may have been the Feast of Tabernacles. I don't know what they may have sang at all the feasts in Israel that brought them up to Jerusalem to the house of God. And while they went, they saw those hills that surrounded Jerusalem. The Bible said, as the hills are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord campeth round about those that love Him. Now I'm telling you, as they looked to the hills of Jerusalem and that city of God, the city of Zion, situated there in those hills, they began to sing that song as the joy of God sprang up in their life. They began to song, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. I want to say to you this morning, there is help at the house of God. There is a Lord that dwells in the house of God. And if you get your eyes from down and look up unto the hills, I'll guarantee you God can fill your weary journey full of joy. And God can take your discouragement and fill it full of joy. And God can take your displeased life and make you happy along the way while you're serving God. Amen. Ain't that wonderful? Amen. You might be amazed, and I don't have time, and I'll clarify something here in a minute, but I don't have time to mention everything that went on in the hills, but maybe two or three things I can mention. Do you realize this morning that it was in the hills when Israel found their help in fighting against their enemies? Amen. that they looked unto the hills. Don't mind leave me now. Everybody look up here. Pay attention. I want you to look in Exodus chapter 17. And look at verse number 8. This will be the, I'll read two passages. This is all I'm going to read. Chapter 17 of Exodus and verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose out men and go out. Fight with Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on the top. Where are you going to stand, Moses? I'm going to stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up. Where'd they go up to, ladies and gentlemen? They went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Now I want everybody to listen very carefully. I'm telling you, their leader got tired in the battle. Their leader was, hey, as long as Moses' hands were up in the air, the Bible said they prevailed. But while Moses' hands, when they began to grow weary, Moses' hands would begin to drop, and Amalek would prevail. So Aaron and Hur settled Moses down on a rock and lifted up his hands up into the air. And while those hands were lifted up, Israel prevailed in the battle. Somebody said, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm simply saying those people, when they looked to their leader and his hands were steady, they had the victory in the battle in their heart. Somebody said, well, Brother Hall, we'll look to you. Oh, no. You've already missed a boat on that one. Sometimes my hands get weary like Moses got weary. And my hands will begin to say, I'm going to tell you what they done with Moses. They put him on a rock. Hallelujah to God. I'm going to tell you, there's a rock in the hills, ladies and gentlemen, that's got his hands raised up, his arms raised up, and you don't have to worry about him growing weary and tired and his arms falling. His hands will be steady as you go. Hallelujah. He's got his hands up today. Look unto the hills from which cometh your help. Amen. Hallelujah. I could apply that to us. Keep our hands up and we'll win the battle. Paul said, I would have been everywhere. Lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. That's called prayer, ladies and gentlemen. That's called prayer. And men ought to always to pray and not to faint. You know why some of you is dead and dry and discouraged and there's no joy? You don't know how to pray. You've left off trying to pray and you ain't been in touch with God so long in prayer that you wouldn't know what it was like to touch heaven this morning. Hallelujah. Get your hands up. Look under the hills from whence cometh your help. Now notice also, Israel found help when fighting the battle when they looked under the hills. Look in Exodus chapter 24. Is anybody here today besides me and Jerome? Look at Exodus chapter number 24 and verse number 3. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord. And all the judgments and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord hath said we will do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill. There's that hill again. There's that hill. After Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, they built an altar there, ladies and gentlemen, under the hill. There's that hill again. And he said he set 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins. And half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read it in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord hath said, we will do and be obedient. Look here. You know what else was on that hill? Amen to God. You look under the hill, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find help from the book. There's help from the book. When they looked under the hill, it was on that hill that old Moses, ladies and gentlemen, sealed the covenant of the book of God. Is anybody hearing me this morning? I'm going to tell you why some of you have grown weary, why you're discouraged, why you're displeased. You forgot to look in the book. Lift up your eyes for the hill from whence cometh your help. I tell you, it's in that book, ladies and gentlemen. It's where you'll find help and strength and stability and grace and mercy for every need you have in your life. I want to say this morning that every need that you can possibly have is in that book. You know what? If I never ate, if you never ate, you'd grow weak. You'd grow weary. You'd grow tired. That is right. And you couldn't go out to work. All you'd want to do is sit around the house. You'd grow tired and weak and weary and lazy. And eventually you'd die from starvation. Now I'm telling you that book is our nourishment. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. Why we're weak today, ladies and gentlemen, and discouraged today, and displeased today, we're not finding nourishment from that book today. I'm going to ride that hobby horse until you start reading your Bible. Amen. Study to show thyself approved. I will hide God's word in my heart that I might not sin against Him. I will meditate day and night in the Word of God. I'm telling you, a man that meditates day and night in the Word of God is like a man that is planted by the rivers of water. Amen to God. His leaf shall not wither. He'll bring forth fruit in his season. I'm telling you, our problem today is we're not looking to the hill where the book of the covenant of God is at. Amen. Am I making any sense, or am I just... I don't want to make it a whole lot of sense to you or not. They found help in the book when they looked under the hills. Israel found help in the blood when they looked under the hills. Verse number 8, and Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. I'm going to tell you, I can get pretty tired. I can get weary. And I can, but I'm telling you, when I remember the blood that's been shed on Calvary's tree, and that I'm covered by the blood, and when He sees me, He sees the blood of the Lamb. I'm telling you, the tired, weary spirit that I have, the backslidden spirit that I have, is revived by the Holy Ghost of God when I realize that God shed His blood upon Calvary's tree and sealed the covenant of the Word of God with that very blood, ladies and gentlemen. And I am a part of God's blood covenant. Hallelujah. You remember the blood covenant? And lift up your eyes. Look under the hills this morning. There's help in the hills for you. Amen. Help in the battles. Help from the book. Help from the blood. Help from the blessed hope. Amen. But you got to get your eyes up, ladies and gentlemen. Amen to God. Hallelujah. I want to say also, it was on a mountain where God provided a ram as a substitute for Abraham when he went to offer Isaac. Went up one side of the mountain and that ram went up the other side. You think his heart wasn't heavy? You think you've got it bad? Here is a man that prayed for years for a boy. And God gave him, or God answered him his prayers and gave him a promise of a son and then gave him that son. I remember preaching on this years ago. Some of you may remember me preaching it. When God asks you for your promise. Amen. Remember it, Brother Doug? God had promised Abraham that boy and turned right around and said, I want the boy back. Amen. You think his heart wasn't heavy, Crocker, walking up that hill? But he kept on walking in obedience to the Word of God. Do you think it didn't discourage him when God said, Abraham, I want you to go to a hill in Moriah and offer your son, your only son, upon that mountain for me? Yes. You think he wasn't weary, Amen. Discouraged, displeased with what God had told him to do? But I'm going to tell you, like a good soldier of the cross,
yes, sir.
He took the wood and he took the fire and he headed up that hill.
Yes.
That little old boy looked at him and said, Father, he said, here am I. He said, I see the wood and I see the fire, but where's the sacrifice? And old Abraham, by faith, said, Son, God will provide Himself a lamb. And I'm telling you, a little while later, that ram come crawling up out of the thicket on the other side of that mountain and became Isaac's substitute. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, on a hill outside Jerusalem called Mount Calvary 2,000 years ago, that God gave His dear Son a substitute for your sin and your life. You ought to be in hell this morning with your neck broke. You ought to be writhing and turning and twisting in the agony and the pain and the fires and the flames of hell. But God Almighty brought a substitute up on the other side of the mountain. Hallelujah to God. And when I reached the top, I'm glad, thank God, that substitute took my place on Mount Calvary. I wonder where Barabbas was. I wonder where Barabbas was when they crucified the Lord. Amen. I got to thinking, I wonder if Barabbas really knew that Jesus was going to die for him. I got to thinking they might have been leading Barabbas up the other side of Mount Calvary. You're getting ready to die, Barabbas. And when they got to the top, there was Jesus. And them soldiers said, oh no, and you heard, this man's going to die in his place. Now I'm just kind of reading between the lines a little bit there. It don't say it didn't, so you can't prove me wrong, Mr. Theologue, so don't look so smart. Makes good preaching anyway. That ram was coming up out of the thicket on the other side of the mountain while Abraham and Isaac come up on this side. Why couldn't Barabbas been coming up this way while Jesus was carrying the cross up this way? Hallelujah to God. But I'm telling you, Barabbas is representative of every person in this room this morning, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm glad I can say that I've looked under the hill from which cometh my help, and I've seen the Son of God suffering in agony and pain for you and for me, and humbling His life and laying it down and dying in my place that a sinner like I am might go free. Hallelujah. Now when I do that, I get happy. It may not make you happy, but I get happy. When I think I could have been writhing and twisting and turning into flames of hell today, praise God, makes me happy to know that on a hill called Mount Calvary, woo! I wish I could sing. Old Brother Squire said, I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe, how's the rest of it go? In an old rug, I can't sing it, Brother Doug. It's cross, and I believe there is power. I can't get, but you know where I'm going. There's power in the blood of the Lamb, ladies and gentlemen. Thank God, on a hill, have you lifted up your eyes and looked under the hills from which cometh your help? Amen. Hallelujah. I told Brother Steve back there last night, if he'd act like he out here like he's acting out there last night, we'd have revival in this place. He got in there doing the Watusi and the mumbo rag. And we can all act that way when we're outside the house of God. What's wrong with acting that way in the house of God? Amen. Jesus was my substitute. Jesus was my sin bearer. Jesus was my sacrifice. Jesus is my coming King, ladies and gentlemen. He is my Lord. He is my liberty. He is my life. He is my life. He is everything to me. You know, driven between you and me this morning, I've lifted up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's why some of y'all look like that. Somebody said, I'm not emotional. It don't take emotion to smile, friend. I want you to stay with me. I've got four or five things and I'll be done. I want you to notice in our text now. Where is this help in the hills? He said, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Now I want to read this. The hill itself provides nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, it's what took place on that hill. That's right. It's what took place. I've read in the Bible where Israel worshipped the groves on the highest hills. Made idols and set them in the highest hills. But that psalmist is telling us to look unto the hills from which cometh our help. There's no help in Mary's candle burning. There's no help in a little bit of incense in the Catholic Church of burning. There's no help in their relics, ladies and gentlemen. But I tell you, there's help in the Lord. My help cometh from the Lord. Have you looked to the Lord today to find your help? Notice what Jeremiah says. Jeremiah 3:23, truly, in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of the mountains. Truly, in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. Now I'm going to tell you, that's who you better look to today. There in Numbers 14, when God made that brazen serpent, had Moses to make it and set it up on that pole. God said, you tell them if they get bit by a serpent, look! Look and live, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, that's still the command today. To look unto the hills from which cometh your help. It is yonder that the Lord died on that cross. Look unto that cross. Lift up your eyes. Look unto the cross. And live today. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Well, I'm trying to preach to you. He provides salvation. And how does He provide that? By grace. Somebody said, we've heard that story a long time. Some of you hadn't heard it enough because you hadn't paid any attention to it.
Right.
Some of you never obeyed it. Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men.
Amen.
Thank God for grace.
Amen.
You're looking at a man that believes in grace.
Amen.
I preach grace. I try to live by grace.
Amen.
I love grace.
Amen.
Oh, it was by grace that have been saved. And by the way, that grace that saved us has taught us that we ought to deny godliness and worldly lust, live soberly and righteously in this present world. Are y'all listening? If you're here today, it's by unmerited favor. Hallelujah. Have you looked under the hills and seen grace? Have you looked under Jesus and seen your feet slipping? The psalmist said, my feet had nigh well slipped.
Yeah.
You've seen your way slipping.
Amen.
There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
Amen.
Have you looked to Him and found grace in the eyes of the Lord?
Amen.
Somebody said, well, preacher, we're living in the days of Noah, and there's violence and corruption in the earth. That's right. But I want to remind you that Noah found grace. In the eyes of the Lord. I'm telling you, that morning you knelt here or wherever you knelt, you found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You heard Brother Smith say there wasn't another, as far as he knew, another saved person in his family. Don't know of another. Why him? I'll tell you why. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I'll tell you why you're here today. You found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You ought to get too cocky and too heady, too high-minded about them boys with earrings in their eyes and their nose and their ears and their tongues pierced. If it wasn't for that little five-letter word, grace, you know where you'd be this morning? Out there with a dope needle up your arm, sucking on a marijuana joint, drinking your bottle of liquor, drinking your beer, and listening to country or rock music. But you found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God, by grace, ladies and gentlemen, brought you to a place of repentance. Hallelujah. I got to hurry along. Some of you's already burned out today. His salvation is by grace. Salvation is by goodness. Romans 2:4 said, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Some said, taste to the Lord and see that He's good. God's good. We're going back there in a little while, and some of you will jump into that nanner pudding. You'll say, yum, 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 boy, that's good. Or they might be some Boston butt roast by guy. I'm going to guarantee if they are, I'm going to say, yum, 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 that's good. They might be some pintos. I'm going to say, yum, 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 them pintos are good. How you know it? I'm tasting of them. Matter of fact, I can smell it right now. My taste buds is getting sharpened. Hallelujah. But have you tasted of the Lord? The goodness of God. God was good to you. Amen. He was good 2,000 years ago when He died for your sins. But I'm going to tell you, He got gooder. He got gooder on that day. May I say, October the 10th, 8th, 1989. Right up there, Miss Patty Ford tasted of the goodness of the Lord. Woo! Hallelujah to God. And that goodness of God led her to repentance. And I told old Brother Shelby back there, Sunday morning 11:05, they didn't think much of it. But something got a hold of him, praise God. And something got a hold of you. It was God's goodness. When Sharon was working up her Shoney's, a slinging French fries and hamburgers and hot dogs and watering in that old salad plate up there. It was God's goodness that brought her down the road, a full mile down the road, hallelujah, to a little old Baptist church sitting along the side of the road. And she tasted of the Lord and saw that He was goodness. Ladies and gentlemen, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. And by His grace and by His goodness, God has regenerated you and I. Amen. I'm going to tell you something else. Not only by His grace and His goodness, but by His gift. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God.
Amen.
Here you go, Brother Billy. I'm going to give you my money clip. Go ahead and tell you. You think God does that? Go on and take salvation, Brother Billy. Can't save you today, Brother Billy. I'm going to tantalize you a little while. Behold, today is a day of salvation. He never lives in the past or the future, always a present. Today is a day of salvation. Go on, Brother Billy, take that salvation. There you go, buddy.
Amen.
I do want that back, sir.
Amen.
Now, do you see how God's grace? I didn't have to give that money clip to Brother Billy.
Right. Amen.
You see how God's goodness? I didn't have to give that to him. For God so loved the world that He gave, ladies and gentlemen, that He gave. I'm here to tell you, look unto the hills from which cometh your help outside Jerusalem on a hill called Mount Calvary.
Amen.
God displayed His grace and God displayed His goodness. And 2,000 years later, God gave you His gift.
Amen.
grace and goodness was there.
Yeah.
But the gift came when you said, yes, Lord.
Yeah.
And Brother Billy, can I have my money clip back? Now, God wouldn't ever come to you and say, can I have my salvation back? Here's the thing of it. You know why I give that back to me? Why did you give that back to me? Huh? Whose is it? Salvation belongs to the Lord. That's my money clip. But I just gave it to Brother Billy. In service, he gave it back. Amen! Are you getting a hold of anything today? You know why Brother Billy gave me that back? It belongs to me.
Amen.
I dropped it and damaged it the other day. Broke that little green thing out of it, but my sweet wife found it. And I'm going to super glue it back in the side from there. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to stay with me. Not only does he provide salvation. Look in her text. Number two, he provides stability. Look at verses 3 and 4. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Isn't that a marvelous thing? God's not up there sleeping this morning. He's not even nodding off and on. He will not slumber and he will not sleep. Now I'm going to tell you, he keeps you. God knows how to keep you stable, ladies and gentlemen. There is no variableness in God, neither any shadow of turning. And God knows how to keep you from even wobbling on the axle. God knows how to stabilize you. Take away all them silly doubts some of you's got. All them worries some of you got. All them problems you have. What more can God do for you than he's done? You tell me what more he can do. Oh, preacher, give me millions of dollars. That'd ruin you.
Amen.
You wouldn't live by faith if you had a lot of money.
That's right.
It'd destroy you.
That's right.
Are you listening? Listen to what the Scripture says in 1 Peter 3:10. But the God of all grace, there's that grace, woo, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. After that ye have suffered a little while. The problem with Baptists, they don't want to suffer a little while. But I'm telling you, after suffering a little while, he will make you perfect, strengthen, establish, settle you, ladies and gentlemen. If that word settle and that word establish and that word strengthen, if that's not talking about stability, I don't know what it is.
Amen.
The Lord, amen, the Lord that created heaven and earth. The Lord never slumbers and never sleeps. He'll keep you.
Amen.
That's stability, folks. Hallelujah. How stable are you this morning? Some of you's about as stable as a 3/4 inch nut on a 3/8 bolt. How settled are you? Have you really got it nailed down? You know you've been saved. You got her nailed down. Have you really got her nailed down? If we got it nailed down that the storms, that the devil, that the trials, that the problems, none of these things, ladies and gentlemen, are to move us. Nothing like that can deprive us of heaven. Praise God, I'm heaven bound with a hammer down. I'm telling you, I'm not doubting where I'm going. I don't doubt where I've been. I don't doubt where I'm at. I know where I've been, where I'm at, where I'm going to. Hallelujah, by the grace of God, I'm on my way to glory. Strengthen, establish, settle you. He not suffer your feet to even be moved. Lifted me up also out of a horrible pit.
Right.
Set my feet on a rock.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. This thing's holding. It's been holding me for a long time, folks.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you what, it'll hold you.
Yes, sir.
Uh-oh. can't move. He said he wouldn't suffer my feet to be moved. Where are you at, preacher? Where are you standing? Well, Paul talked about standing in grace. I'm standing in that grace, brother. Brother Wayne, Brother Wise.
Amen.
He's not the wizard of Wise either. I'm standing there and I can't be moved out of grace. What about that? Where else am I standing? Last town I looked, I was in the house of God. I ain't going nowhere from the house of God. I'm glad I'm a part of the house of God. I'm glad that I'm in the church, thank God. I'm talking about an old-fashioned, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church. Amen. I'm just like Brother Williams. That's a right, but I smile a little bit at the preacher. Hallelujah to God. Get to know me, boy. I'll be the best friend you ever had, pal. Amen. We ride it. We're going places, boy. Thank God we're going to glory someday, son. Smile at Brother Hall. Don't look at him. Just smile at me, boy.
Amen.
You looking at, bud? Anybody listening?
Amen.
I'm glad I'm part of the church.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm a member of an old-fashioned, independent, Bible-believing Baptist Holy Ghost-filled preacher church, amen, that God brought me to.
Amen.
I won't charge you for anything but I'm glad I'm a Baptist.
Amen.
My brother Williamson, if I wasn't a Baptist, I'd be ashamed of myself.
Amen.
Boy, looks puzzled like some of y'all right now.
Amen.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, sound like Brother Herbert, don't it, my beloved friend? Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Amen.
In other words, ladies, keep on cooking for marathons.
Amen.
In other words, men, keep on writing checks for marathons.
Amen.
In other words, church, keep on praying for marathons. Keep on praying for missionaries. Keep on giving them. Your work is not in vain in the Lord. Be unmovable. Always not just standing there, abounding in the work of the Lord. You know why? And I don't have time to turn there. But because of the ultimate victory. He talks about. See, some of you looking a little puzzled. I'll just have to read some of it again. Well, there it is. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See, you can be stable because of the ultimate victory.
Amen.
You can be stable because of the unlimited possibilities. Be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord.
Amen.
What possibilities we have! Pray, God, I'd like to break these glasses, jump 5 feet in the air, kick a devil. Amen. God has given us a possibility of reaching 100,000 souls with the gospel. And some of y'all take it lightly. You act like it's just nothing. What's it to me? It's your church. It's your ministry. It's your work in the Lord. Unlimited possibilities. And because of the unbelievable reward. Woo! You get to heaven, you ain't going to believe it. Now, Brother Job, you didn't have to be that cruel. I give folks the benefit of the doubt. Heaven's an unbelievable place, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus is there. Woo! The souls of our loved ones that's died in Christ, they're over there waiting on us.
Thank God.
I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. You talk about an unbelievable place. I'm talking about a street of pure gold. Walls of jasper.
Amen.
Gates of pearl. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Won't be no moon or won't be no sun there. Jesus will be all the light in that place we'll ever need. I'm talking about an unbelievable place. Can you imagine? Can you believe a place with no pain? Can you believe that? Hey, never another headache. Preaching won't even give some of you a headache over. Not another sinus infection. No more ear infections, Jacob. No more little old kidney and bladder infections, Anna. No more bad legs and neuropathy and bad backs. And no more diabetes. We'll all be sweet over there. I'm talking about an unbelievable place. Thank God I hate. Son, I don't know about you, but I'm longing to see the city. But I'm longing even more to see the Savior. Oh, I want to encamp round about the throne where the 24 elders fall down and cry, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who is worthy to rule and reign because He was and now He is, hallelujah, the Lord God for all eternity. What a place. Jesus is going to be sitting on the throne. And we're going to be kings and priests. And you're talking about an unbelievable place. You know something else? After we get there for about 7 years, He's going to assign every one of us to a white horse. And the captain of our salvation will lead the way with a sharp two-edged sword coming out of His mouth.
Amen.
See, ladies and gentlemen, about all we can read about is the New Jerusalem, and the New Jerusalem is not heaven. The heavens far beyond the stars and the sun and the moon.
Amen.
Talking about the black hole up there, they ain't no near them trying to look in that black hole. They ain't going to find heaven. Somebody said, what's the difference? John said, I saw New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. Heaven sure must be a big place. Because New Jerusalem came down out of heaven, and New Jerusalem is 1,500 miles in every direction. John said, I saw an innumerable company of angels. That's a lot of angels. He was in the Holy Ghost, in the Spirit, and couldn't count them. That's a lot of them, ladies and gentlemen. I'm talking about an unbelievable place. Ain't that wonderful? Man, that'd make a man run his head through a brick wall. What a place. Heard somebody say, I said the other day, I said, there ain't no place like this place, so this must be the place. No, this ain't the place. That's the place.
Yeah.
You know how I know that's the place? I'm going to tell you how I know it's the place, Brother Andy. Because He said, I go to prepare a place for you.
Right. Amen.
So I know that must be the place. Anybody listening? Have you got your eyes lifted up yet? Are you looking to the hills? Got your eyes off the carpet?
Amen.
I do believe some of y'all's got red in your eyes. Oh, I thought that was from crying. That ain't crying. It's a glare off the carpet.
Amen.
Come on, folks.
Amen.
May I say number three. Look at verse 5 and 6. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Not only does He provide salvation, not only does He provide stability, but He provides a shade.
Amen.
That word shade takes on the idea of hovering over us.
Amen.
May I say real quickly, that shade is a refuge. Yes. Isaiah said in Isaiah 25:4, for thou hast been a strength to the poor,
Amen.
A strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm. A shadow from the heat. When the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against a wall. Can I say that? Anybody got any poor people in here today? All of you must be millionaires. Didn't one of you say a thing about being poor? Got any poor people in here today? Got any needy people in here today? Got any people in the storm? He'll be ashamed. He will be ashamed by hovering over you. He will be a refuge, ladies and gentlemen, in the time of storm. There is a cleft in the rock that you can flee to and find refuge in the time of the storm. May I say, shade is not only a refuge, but that shade is our rest. Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 3, the Bible said, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Well, thank God for the shade of this apple tree.
Amen.
Why, that's good. Where's the evil one? I'm going to read to you here in just a minute. He preserves us from evil. What are you doing under this tree? I'm resting. Now, Brother Hall, don't you know that there's a lot of sin in the world and the sodomites is going wild? I know that, but I'm resting. Do you know there's a lot of violence? I know they are, but I'm resting. You know, the world is in war and we're turned upside down. Nation against nation, rumors of wars and earthquakes and diamond quakes. Don't you know? I know all that. And I'm resting.
Amen.
Under the shade of the old apple tree. Amen. I'm resting.
Amen.
I'm not only resting there, I'm rejoicing there.
Amen.
Solomon in the verse I just read said, I sat down under it, under its shadow, with great delight. How many good happy Baptists we got in here today?
Yeah.
Amen, Brother Andy. Got one, have two happy Baptists. Got two happy people. See, I've been telling you that for years, and it's finally, you proved it.
Amen.
Sat down under that apple tree with great delight.
Amen.
Refuge in that shade.
Amen.
There's rest in that shade.
Amen.
There's rejoicing in that shade, ladies and gentlemen. Why don't you eat an apple this afternoon? Get your King James Bible. Crawl up under the shade of that old apple tree and eat a good, what they call them, Fiji apple. What some of them others, what I like, Miss Hall, what's in my life? Huh? Gala? Get you a good gala. Done are good. Somebody said, well, what if the apples runs out? You don't have to worry about that. Just when I was a boy, Mr. Carl Esther. Started to say Vic Esther. Vic Esther's brother, Carl Esther. Back through the woods from us up on a hill up there from down where Mr. Esther lived, he had a right out in the middle of a big cornfield that some of my relatives farmed every year stood a big pear tree. Some of them wanted to cut it down. Mr. Esther said, no, can't cut that pear tree down. He never got a pear out from under it. He never went and got one pear out from under that tree, brother. Not one that I ever saw him gather. But I'm going to tell you what, in the fall of the year, you could see a bunch of snotty-nosed, ragtag little old boys sitting up under that pear tree, eating them pear. And I'm going to tell you, we looked around on the ground, and when we found all the good ones, and all that was left was the bruised up ones and the ones that ants that eat holes in, you know what we'd do? Same thing you need to do. We just stand up and grab a limb, just shake a limb, sit back down, eat a little bit more.
Amen.
Some of you need to shake the limb.
Amen.
You're under an apple tree. You got shade there. Delight in that shade. And when the apples is gone, shake the tree. I'm talking about shaking the heart of Jesus in prayer. They're still apples on the tree, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Yeah.
That tree will never be barren.
Amen.
There's always delight.
Amen.
In the shade of that apple tree. I'm closing right here. There's one more thing and I'm done. Look in verses 8 and 9, 7 and 8. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. The Lord not only provides salvation, provides security, provides a shade, but He provides stability. Salvation, stability, a shade, but He also provides security. In those two verses, the word preserve is mentioned three times. In two verses. And look where we're secured. I want to read this first. Jude 1. He preserves the soul. It says so right here in verse number 7, in the last part. He shall preserve thy soul. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. And called. Now, I would tell y'all something about that, but you'd get real upset with me. Do you believe in... Miss Hall, don't fall out with me, baby. If I read that right, Brother Doug, and I believe in order...
Yes, sir.
Now, don't nobody fall out with me. Please don't fall out with me. If you fall out with me, I'm going to call you a heretic. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ, and brother James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father. That tells me I sanctified for as ever anything else ever happened. That simply means set apart.
Amen.
God set you apart. Sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I know somebody's going to fall out with me here. But I'm going to tell you, things are preserved until they're opened.
Amen.
Sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. Now, if you can get a hold of that, I may not ought to say much more. It's strong meat. Some of you may choke to death. That tells me I was sanctified and preserved before I was ever called. Now, that's the Bible. Now, I didn't write that. And I was real reluctant to even mention that this morning. Uh-oh, happy birthday, baby. Now, I'm not a hyper. But I'm just telling you what the book says.
Amen.
Now, if that won't make a dead Baptist happy, I quit. I give up.
Amen.
So He preserves our soul. Then notice this. He said there in verse 7, the Lord shall preserve thee from evil. He also preserves you from Satan.
Amen.
Somebody said, how do you know? Well, didn't he? What did he say about Job? Satan said, hast thou not made a hedge about him?
Amen.
But I'm telling you, here's the blessed part of it, and I love it. He also preserves us in our going out and our coming in. That's our service.
Amen.
That's our service for God. We go out and we come in. Those kings, Solomon said, I'm just a tender, and I don't know how to go out and come in. He was saying, I don't know how to serve God, and I don't know how to serve this people. God will preserve your service.
Amen.
That's why that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Amen.
He'll preserve your soul. He'll preserve you from Satan.
Amen.
And He will preserve your service.
Amen.
He's keeping a record.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, on this marathon, Mrs. So-and-so brought in fajita, torita, tocos. And the preacher ate, and all the other priests ate, and all the other. She's done good on that one. I'm going to keep track of this here. On for supper, let's see. They brought in beans and soup and chili and Sam. Oh, yeah. Here's one now. Here's a lady that brought in five liters and 10, 12 liters.
Amen.
Here is a crowd of people that, wow, they're so, they even decided to cook a meal for the preacher's wife. I think I'll write that down. You think God's not keeping track of that? I don't pay any attention to it, and I don't know who does and who don't. But every week, Brother Smith takes that little blue bag and walks around, and I assume somebody says, that's an offering for me for Christmas, or something to that effect, or whatever you do. And I'm going to tell you, God looks and says, I'm going to write this down, Brother So-and-so put it, uh-oh. Oh, Brother So-and-so didn't put it in that way. Put nothing there but his name. Wouldn't it be terrible to get to heaven and look at your reward list and it's just got nothing, 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 nothing? Well, now, Lord, I was a good Baptist. According to my records, you didn't do nothing. What about it, folks? There's help if we'll look under the hills from whence or from where comes where our help comes from. Let's stand together. I appreciate you letting me preach to you this morning. I really enjoyed preaching today. I got on that strange doctrine. Some of y'all must think heaven's a strange doctrine. I must not preach on it much. Have you looked kind of strange when I got talking about how good heaven was? God, it's after 1 o'clock. It won't hurt you. You're not coming back tonight. You're still getting a break. You know what you're doing? You're showing that religious crowd out there that goes in at 11 and leaves at 12, exactly, that there is a salvation that's worth spending a little time with.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Thank you for letting me preach to you. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the morning and the afternoon. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of preaching today. I enjoyed it so. I pray you'll bless your people. God, help us all to lift up our eyes and look under the hills. There's help there for us, Lord. There's lots of help there for us. Grace us, I pray today. Bless some weary soul. Strengthen some weary pilgrim. Help someone that's in distress. Someone that's needy. And Father, get glory unto yourself in doing it. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen.